Welcome to Peds in a Podcast, where our team of specialists shares with you tips on all things health and development for your little ones. My name is Leanne Tran, and I'm one of the psychologists here at Peds in a Pod. When it comes to strategies to help with your child's communication, one of the tools we often use is visual supports. Visual supports are ways we can use visual information to support using or understanding language. Today I'm joined again by Sarah Nicholas, our speech and language pathologist, and we take a deep dive into what visual supports are, how you can use them, and how you can even do them at home. We hope it's useful for you. Sarah, thank you for joining us again.
Yeah. Third time lucky.
Yeah. We have talked about communication in the past and communication assessments. One of the common recommendations, I think, in an assessment is to use some visual supports for home or for school. And I know that I recommend those too in my assessments sometimes. I'm interested to hear from a speech and language pathologist's point of view, what are visual supports and what kind of kids can benefit from them?
So visual supports come under a banner that speech pathologists call alternative and augmentative communication. So either using pictures as a complete alternative to speaking because kids are not using any words yet, or as an adjunct, so to just encourage a little bit more communication or encourage some more comprehension. Now, I actually use visuals for all of the kids that I work with at different levels. And even if you think about yourself, we all use visuals to support what we're doing. I have a diary. I still actually have one that I write in.
So do I.
But I also, I do hold a diary on my phone, but I also hold a diary on the computer and a diary. I write shopping lists. I write little notes to my children to remind them to do stuff in the morning. I know lots of people use like chore charts or daily things that their kids need to get done. So we're using visuals anyway as a natural part of our life, and that really does help lots of people to just get themselves organized. So again, it's exactly the same for kids, but we just do it in a more kid-friendly way. So thinking about visuals, very early on, if I have a child who's not using any spoken communication at all, they can become quite frustrated by that. Even our late bloomers who don't have any other developmental delays, I would still introduce some simple signs as you did with your little boy and I did with my boys when they were little because they weren't talking yet and they were getting quite frustrated. Remember your boy had quite a big range of early baby signs, we would call them, but they're really just signs to help us. So things like eat, I want something to eat, more, can I have some more, finished.
Yeah.
You know, they're really popular ones and they can just help kids feel a little bit more relaxed.
Yeah.
The research shows that using signs and symbols or pictures actually helps develop language. It doesn't stop it. And I think that's one of the biggest questions I get asked by families or concerns is, but if we give them the picture, then they just won't talk. They'll just use the picture.
Yeah, I have parents ask the same thing.
Yeah, so it's a really common concern. But actually, it's a stepping stone towards language and it just reduces the frustration. It gives them that sense of control over communication, so they're excited that they've been able to get their message across, and then when their speech is ready, they can change it over to talking. Now, if a kid starts using the word, there's no way we need to keep going with the signing.
Right.
But that it's just that stepping stone.
Yeah.
So it's a lovely stepping stone and kids really do enjoy it and they like it. So for my kids that are then come out of that, I would still, every session when a kid comes in, I use a visual timetable, which is just a summary of what we're going to do today. So for my little kids, I'm using pictures. It's a little picture sequence. It'll just say, game. They all know it, game. And then we might read a book, and then we might play with some toys. And it just gives them that idea. And at the end, there's always a big star to say, you choose anything from the cupboard. So that gives them that idea of what they're doing. And again, that can transfer to home. So for your morning routine, just to keep the kids understanding what's going on, we're going to have breakfast, then we'll get dressed, and then we'll brush our teeth and go to school. Mm. It's really simple. For our older kids, our kids that can read, I will generally just write a list.
Okay.
I often will do that in a thinking bubble, so we're all thinking about the same thing.
Right.
We're all thinking about playing this game together. We're all thinking about watching this video together.
So that's kind of for the routine
of the session. And again, that can be used at home, just a whiteboard with a list. And then I have my children that are really taking quite some time to learn to talk, or the words they're saying are quite repetitive and they just say the same things over and over, the same types of words around the same theme.
Right.
And then I would look at using a communication board for expressive language rather than that comprehension, like a visual schedule gives you that. What are we doing? This is what can I say?
Right.
So I would use a communication board that's as flexible as I can. So it still gives them lots of options to say things.
Mm.
I should have brought one in today, shouldn't I? So I could hold it up.
But that's okay. We could.
So for example, with something like bubbles, I would have symbols for I want, and then I would have symbols for things like more, pop, bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would naturally, as I talk, just be pointing to those symbols and talking at the same time. And then the child has the option, because I'm going to wait and see what happens, that they might point to a picture and they get that burst of explosive, I've just said bubbles.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's a really lovely moment when they are able to use different words or use words for the first time by pointing.
Yeah, so you're kind of modelling it as well as then giving them the opportunity to.
Yeah, so when I introduce symbols, if you think about how we talked about normal communication development, we spend a whole year talking to our children using spoken language, and we're not expecting them to say anything at all.
Right.
So it's important to say that's exactly the same with introducing an alternative system. We need to show them and model it and they need to have lots of time to get used to that idea.
Right.
And see it in lots of different environments before we are expecting them to use it. So I think the people just think, oh, well, here it is, use it now. But actually we have to do that foundation like we did with typical children. They need exposure. They need to see mum use it. They need to see dad use it. They need to see grandparents, school, kinder,
right.
You know, whatever's happening. If everybody's using it, then it really starts making sense as a language for them.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I had thought about it before in terms of that it takes time to learn a new skill, but I hadn't really compared it to just how long we do talk to kids before they start
sometimes
to talk.
Sometimes 2 years.
Yeah.
And often the kids that are using those symbol boards, particularly our older children, they have had some developmental differences that are going to make it trickier for them.
Mm.
So they might even need more time. And it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. We just need to be consistently modelling it for them
and
then giving them a chance to say what they want to say.
Right.
If they've got the opportunity, you'd be surprised at how many kids will come out with something. It really is a special moment when they go.
I bet.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, you mentioned before that my son was one who used a bit of that baby sign as well. And you mentioned how, you know, a couple of the benefits, I think, from kids using these different ways of communicating. And I think one thing extra to add is that there is a lot of power in that able to say something for the first time.
Yeah.
So I remember for him it was that he wanted a drink. So very frustrated, like most toddlers are, and then eventually did sign drink. And I said, oh, you want a drink? I gave it to him. So there's that power in being able to get what you want through the communication is also really.
And their little eyes are just like, yes.
Yeah. I think, because you mentioned that, you know, sometimes families are concerned about using alternatives like the signing or visuals because their kids might not learn to talk. But I think that this is an example that shows the power that can come from being able to communicate, then just kind of motivates kids to continue on with that development, because it's such a functional thing to be able to ask for what you want and get it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, the way that communication boards work now is they're not just labeling. And I think that lacked engagement the way we used to, back when I was first a speech pathologist, give a bank of words that were usually nouns or naming words, and it just wasn't as motivating as symbols like uh-oh or wow, or because they're the typical development of language, and kids love those words.
Yeah.
You know, oops.
Yeah.
Oh, I made a mistake. You know, they're the words that motivate kids.
Yeah.
To say things, so they're really nice. I guess outside of, so visual timetables for, or lists for comprehension, and then communication boards or signs for expression, we do use lots of other types of visuals for kids, such as choice boards. So, you know, what do you want to do? Here, here's a choice. They can't say the word, so let's show them two or three or four pictures. Or for some kids, 10 pictures.
Yeah.
You know, whatever they're ready for. You make a choice. Kids love making the choice of what they want to do. We use things like information or social stories. They can be a visual as well. So they're just giving the child information about what's going on, or giving them some information to support their social understanding. So they're really useful for our older kids who are struggling in a particular situation. We use visuals for like a broader timetable, like a calendar, particularly for big changes like moving homes or school holidays, or where am I going? When am I going to mum's house or dad's house if you're living in a separated household? So they're really useful for all kids. Just thinking about what other the main ones I use.
I think you've covered a lot. I think, but that's a good point I wanted to jump onto, which was that you've talked about how useful they are for kids who do have some communication difficulties, but also I find in my work they're really useful for kids who might have, you know, difficulties with working memory or executive functioning and that kind of thing, where they have just trouble remembering and structuring what their weeks or days are going to look like and what they have to do. The other group of kids it can be really helpful for is those who have anxiety as well, because I think when you have something visual to refer to, it takes away the question or the uncertainty about it for some kids. And I think you've told me this before too, but it's kind of the words we use then kind of disappear for kids, whereas when there's a visual there, the kids can go back to it. So often anxious kids ask a lot of questions about what's happening. So as a parent, if you can just say, take a deep breath, it's check your schedule, darling. Yeah. It can be.
It'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a great other alternative to presenting information. Yeah. I think, so I use it for holidays a lot.
Trips and I away think, and, you know, when you're thinking about visuals, you can use picture symbols or you can just use photographs. I mean, I often say to families, because their child's distressed about where they're going because they know routes to certain places and they don't know which route they're going on, just take a photo of the place you're going, give it to them. They hold it in the back of the car.
Right.
And they know exactly where they're going. And they can. It's reassuring for kids because, again, like you just said, if you say the word, we're going to the shops, and that's gone, but if they're holding that picture of their favourite shop that they're going to, it just can calm.
Yeah.
So it's a really lovely strategy.
Sure, great. Yeah. So one thing I get asked about a lot by parents is how they can do this. They don't know. So if for example, we're talking about maybe one of the more simple versions of it, you've got a child who maybe has some trouble paying attention or is a bit nervous and you want to do like a schedule of their week, can parents kind of do that at home?
Yeah, look, I think it's a really simple thing. Even if you just Google visual timetables. There are lots of online things that can help you, assist you to make those things. You can buy those things, or you can just print it off Google Images or photos. I think when it's just a simple thing like that, families can do that at home. I think if it's more complex, it really would be much better to come and see someone like a psychologist or a speech pathologist or an occupational therapist, and they can just guide you through the process just to make sure that the types of symbols or pictures that you're using are going to support that child in the best way, because there are some decisions to make about how much information you're giving a child. Overloading a child, the types of pictures they understand or symbols they understand. So if it's someone that is typically developing with anxiety, I feel like that's something that you could do yourself. Although if you have anxiety to that level, I'd probably be getting some advice from a psychologist anyway. So I guess have a go, but if you feel like you're unsure, it doesn't hurt to go and get a consultation with someone just to help guide you.
Yep, sure. That sounds good. I think so where you're unsure of the level of understanding of your child or their ability, it's definitely worth talking with someone about. Yeah. There are, like you said, lots of places where you can get chore charts and things like that. So one that I've used a lot is by a local company called Mission Magnets, and they have a range of different things like school activities and stuff, little magnets that you can put up on a board for.
And Leanne is the most organized person
in
the world.
I don't know about that, but it is a skill I'm trying to pass on to my kids. So I think it's a good place to start for sure, using that visual for that everyday stuff. And then,
And it really does make a difference, and it works. And it works for adults, so it's going to work for kids as well. Just adapt it to make it friendly.
Brilliant. Yeah. I think that's a great place to end on. Thanks so much for coming in again.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.